Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. I have not put the logo here, but I have put Drake May here, and I have put Sam Darnold here. We are not at the Moscone Center in San Francisco. It's much more inexpensive to be here. Trust me, it is. Although, you know, I do owe Luke a West Coaster before it's all over with here. Maybe we'll go see the Orioles out on the West Coast. I tried to do that last year. I had a flight for you and me booked to San Francisco and San Diego, and then the Orioles went into the tank, and then we were like, why do we want to go and watch a last place baseball team? So this is not a football segment. This is going to be a baseball segment. I'm wearing my Costas gear. It is a cup of soup or bowl week. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at GBMC, keeping me alive. Thank God for that. And as well, we have new sponsors as well. We love when we get a new sponsor. I feel like Ed McMahon with the timpani here. But they're out in Owings Mills, but they go everywhere. They are Farnan and Dermer. They are the comfort guys. Family owned and operated since 1902. Zach and the family board. We're going to be talking about sports around here. And a matter of fact, get some smelly smells in my place from my HVAC. So I got to get the HVAC guys out here as well. They also do plumbing. You can check them out at farnandermer.com. You can also reach them at 410-600-7964. Thank you for new sponsors. If you are a local sponsor, you want to sponsor, not me. Don't do it for me. Do it for Luke. It's baseball season here. Luke, you know that I have a flight booked to Sarasota in a couple of weeks. You know that I have told the Orioles 1,000 times on the air, off the air, in emails, privately, on the record, off the record. I've offered to bring them Fadley's crab cakes, and they haven't even taken me up on that. Although I'll be participating in some Fadley's crab cakes on Monday this week. I don't know if we're going to Sarasota. I hope we are. I hope they can treat me like a human being and not like ICE does, being the Venezuelan guy. But it is a new season. As far as expectations for them, anybody that's ever listened to me and knows of my spirit, I want them to win. They don't win enough. I've been doing this 34 years. We've had, what, 5 or 6 years where it's been interesting in all of the years that we've been doing this. Last year was not one of them. And given the new ownership, Pete Alonso, the money they've spent, the way two great pitchers came on at the end of last year, the way they have this incredible group of young players, maybe this is the year they win 107 games and it's nuts. And maybe they sign Valdez and maybe they don't, and maybe they don't need to. And there's so many maybes. Maybe Adley Rutschman hits 280 and 23 bombs this year and comes back to being like Buster Posey. A little San Francisco reference there for you. It's baseball. It's a box of chocolates. And as I peruse my Louis Aparicio autograph collection and in my spare time when I'm not at the Moscone Center, I love baseball. I love the history of baseball. My cousin is the oldest living Hall of Famer. So season is beginning. And I really do think if I were a betting guy, and I'm not, I bet on them to be a playoff team this year. That's a bold statement coming from last place, but I just said it. So there, I'm not going to unsay it, but I believe it. I believe they can win 91 games this year. I do.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I am at this point. I mean, you made the mention of 106 wins. Like, I'm nowhere anywhere close to
no,
that.
But they can, dude. I can make a case for you right now that Westberg's great, that Henderson's great, okay, that Alonso's going to be great, that they're going to have three pitchers that are going to be pretty good. And if the bullpen holds up a little bit and they play some defense, that Jackson Holliday's going to come on, that Rutschman's going to return to being Rutschman. I'll make a case for Colton Cowser to hit 260 and strike out less than 200 times a year. I don't know. But they have a lot of blue-chippy kind of guys. And they got a manager that everybody loves, right? So I'm willing to blow orange smoke up everybody's rectum here for the near foreseeable future until, let's say, Preakness weekend when we sort it out and they're either 21 and 13 or they're 13 and 21, you know?
Yeah. Look, there's certainly a path and there's reason for optimism. And I'm going to say what I had been saying through New Year's. I like what they've done this offseason. They went out and signed Pete Alonso. They signed Ryan Helsley to nail down the ninth inning. They brought Andrew Kittredge back in what was a shrewd move. They signed Zach Eflin right before, what was that, New Year's Eve, the day before New Year's Eve, whatever it was, as a depth option for the rotation, even if he's not going to be ready for opening day. Although the indications are that he's ahead of schedule with that back surgery recovery. So they traded for Taylor Ward, regardless of how I felt about the Grayson Rodriguez trade in terms of whether I thought they got appropriate value for what Grayson Rodriguez could still be in a vacuum. Taylor Ward should very much help their lineup and stabilize their outfield situation. But you know what? I'm still waiting for the punctuation on the offseason. Whether it's going to be a period, and that period is Zach Gallen, or not that I'm really all that hot and bothered about the idea of signing Lucas Giolito, for example, but he's a legitimate major league starting pitcher. Someone of that neighborhood, whether it's a trade, obviously I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that they traded for Boz. I like the Boz trade. I like that. I thought that was a really interesting move with some upside. To me, it replaces
Where's
Grayson
he?
Rod.
Get optimistic on him for me. Let's
I
because we
mean,
could be as optimistic as we want on the two pitchers from
optimistic, he
last
could be
year
the number two
and
starter. I mean, like he's someone with a Grayson Rodriguez kind of pedigree in terms of like the expectations, in terms of the ceiling, in terms of the stuff, right? Except he's about 18 months removed from his period of health problems, whereas Grayson Rodriguez still has not escaped that
So what do you
pattern.
expect from him? 160. Give me a line on him. That's what I do this time of year. You've been on me a long time. What's he going to hit? What's he going to pitch? How many innings? What's an ideal year for him? And then set the bar at that. And then we're going to talk gambling in a minute, which we never do around here because I got the Orioles over under, and I really want to have fun with that because it's cloudy, by the way. It's neat. It's a great conversation. We never talk gambling here, but if I have to give you $100 from Farnan and Dermer and say we're going to bet it on or against over or under. 85 or 89, somewhere in the range. But for me, every one of these guys, when I see Boz, I'm like, he might give him 148 innings, really good innings this year, and he might be, 11 and 8. And I know you hate wins. I'm just thinking back of the baseball card, 3.80 ERA, and win some good, be a really solid 2 to 3 for them in a year when they win 91 games. I'm saying they're winning 91 games. That's what I'm saying. That's gonna be my new number this year, 91.
And look, I'm not saying that that's unrealistic. I just think they need another starting pitcher. I mean, I just really do. And I think they need another very legitimate bullpen arm, because I think that bullpen's light right now. I mean, I just do. Maybe Yennier Cano becomes what he
Is there
was
anything they
three
could
years
do to
ago.
make you say the bullpen's the strength of the? It's never that way,
Not
right? Like, you just can't. You can't get enough
Well,
bullpen.
but at the same time, I'm just looking at it objectively. Look at everything they traded away from their bullpen, what they subtracted from their bullpen. And I'm not saying that that was a great bullpen last year, but look at what they subtracted from their pen and what have they brought back. Okay, they signed Helsley. I like the Helsley signing. I'm fully willing and eager to buy into the idea that he was tipping his pitches, and that's why he had such a horrible month and why it didn't work out with the Mets. But the track record prior to that in the last 3+ years is that he's going to be one of the better closers in baseball this year. So I'm fine with that. I like bringing Kittredge back. I like the idea of Tyler Wells in the bullpen and what that could look like. I need another guy that I can count on in the eighth and ninth inning. I do. I mean, I just do, because I think the numbers are short. I'll buy into Dietrich Enns being a guy that might do well in the sixth and seventh inning. I like Cade Stroud. You've heard me talk about him. He's one of the guys, young guys, they gave an opportunity to. They need another guy in the bullpen. They need another starter. Now, to go back to, you asked me about Boz. I want to answer your question. You kind of just spelled it out there. I mean, it's still really noisy projection, right? Because you're talking about someone that clearly they bought on the idea that he is not yet 27 years old. He'll be 27 in June. He is now a couple years removed from Tommy John and the injuries that he had that reminded you of Grayson Rodriguez in the sense that, what, in 22, he only threw 27 innings. In 23, he didn't pitch at all. 24, he ended up throwing 79 and a third innings for the Rays, because he wasn't ready at the beginning of the year. But he threw 166 in the third innings last year. The ERA was 4.87, so obviously you want a lower ERA there. But I think the peripherals, in terms of his velocity, in terms of the strikeout to walk ratio, I think the acknowledgement that he pitched in that bandbox of a minor league park in Tampa last year at Steinbrenner Field, I think you look at his home road splits. I think all of that sets up for what you just mentioned. I'm not going to sit here and project him to have a 2.4 ERA and be third in Cy Young voting, but I think he can have a sub 4 ERA and be a guy that throws 150 plus innings and strike out a batter per inning and throw hard and have the kind of upside that he could be their number two or number three starter by year's end, right? Problem is, that's still an optimistic outlook, right? That's still that's not the top 10% projection, but that's still more favorable than not. I want the Orioles to get away from where they've been with their pitching in recent years, which is if everything breaks right. Right? Because we know that not everything's going to break the way you want it to. Someone, and I use the term break ironically there, someone's going to break. And I didn't even mean to use it that way. But we just know with pitching that that's where it's going to be. So you kind of look at their rotation right now, taking Framber Valdez or Zach Gallen or Lucas Giolito or any of those possibilities out of the equation for the moment because they haven't signed or acquired any of those guys. But right now, they're starting five. If Eflin is ready for opening day, and I think that's a question mark right now, is in some order, but if you want to use this order, Trevor Rogers, Kyle Bradish, you could flip those two if you wanted to. Boz is the three, Kramer is the four right now, and Eflin you put at the five because of the health question. Now, if Eflin's fully healthy, then Eflin could be your three, right? Or he could be your four. Point is, you're looking at those five guys. I would feel so much better about this rotation if you could put someone else into that top half. Boz slides down a spot, Kramer slides down a spot, or maybe moves to the pen, long relief, and then Eflin can slide down a spot as well. Or you just say, hey, Zach, we're not going to rush you with your back. We're going to ramp you up slowly. We're going to slow play you. We want you ready by, I don't know, Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, something like that, right? We want you ready by mid-May, and then you're going to be, from an inning standpoint, you should be good to go, and then you can pitch the whole season, hopefully. But I still look at where they are right now with the rotation. It still feels a little bit too much like the last couple of years where you're counting on everything to go perfectly to plan. And we just know that realistically speaking, things don't go that way typically. So that's where I look at this thing and say they need punctuation on their off season. Could be a period. If it's a period, it's Gallen, Giolito. You could talk me into someone like Chris Bassett. He's older, but I think still someone capable of pitching at a pretty high level. He's 36. There's been talk about what Justin Verlander has been thrown out there. Obviously that'd be
Well,
like a
let's talk
slam.
about Valdez for a minute because he's going to pitch somewhere. He's good for 32 starts and a 2.80 ERA and 204 innings or whatever it's going to be for somebody. And what the value of that is to David Rubenstein and Michael Arougheti, let alone Mike Elias and Craig Albernaz, with or without, against or for, where are you with a 32-year-old pitcher who would? If I think they're going to win 91 with Shane Boz and what they have and whatever piece of veteran House of Dean Kramer they're going to bring in to bring another arm in that isn't going to be an elite arm, isn't going to be a top of the rotation guy. I mean, if they bring him in, then all of a sudden I can start thinking about three digits, right? If I think they're worth 91
I
without.
mean, I don't know if he's that pitcher, but if you're saying 91, then that would put them into the
They should win
95.
a hell of a lot more games with him than Dean Kramer every fifth day. They
But
should.
he won 13 games last year. I mean, you also
Well,
need to
then
be.
let's not give him $200 million then.
But if you're saying he takes them from 91, so you're saying he's an 8 or 9 win pitcher? I'm thinking about this in terms of WAR. I guess you and I just think differently because you're old school and I'm a little more hybrid. Old school and sabermetrics. Framber Valdez in his career has been kind of a 3 or 4 win above replacement kind of pitcher. So, first of all, I think 91's high right now. You're really counting on them to hit the heck out of the baseball then.
I'm counting on their pedigree to come back. I'm counting on the team that we saw 2 or 3 years ago and
Just
some of the
think
players.
91's
I
high
don't,
for me right now.
I'm
I'm
not
more like
ready to throw in
87,
the towel
88
on
now.
Rutschman just yet. I'm just not.
But I'm just saying collectively, I'm not at 91. I don't think this is a 91 win outfit as presently constructed. I'm more like high 80s right now. I think Valdez puts them into 91, 92,
See, I
something like
felt like
that.
the Santander piece was missing last year,
Okay.
and they've replaced that with the Alonso piece.
Okay.
And I don't think
I'll
Alonso
buy
needs to
that.
be their best player. I think Alonso could be their fourth best player by next year because Rutschman, Henderson, Holiday, Westberg are all guys in the program, under contract, all going to get their 528 at bats or whatever it's going to be. And make their 125 starts, if 145, if they're really healthy, in certain circumstances when you don't come out of the game like Henderson or some other guys that are going to play every day, not
Right.
just get Sundays off. And I'm just more I'm
That's
and I, and
fine.
it's has nothing to be being Baltimore positive or trying to be the anti-prick around here, because I'm not. I mean, you've known me a lot. I tell you what I really think. I think they have a lot of potential. I think the
I
pitchers
agree.
coming on at the end of last year, I think firing the manager, I think bringing in a new dude, I think spending a lot of money on Alonso, I think buying bullpen arms, something that they can do along the way. I think they still have trade pieces that are well thought of, trade pieces that could fetch something for them in the middle, because whatever they are now is not what they're going to be July 31st. The question is, can they be competitive over the first 100 days of the season to be a buyer and not a seller at the deadline? And can guys come on? And more than that, can we just not have five guys hurt on
Yeah.
April 28th and start the season 3-13? You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's going to happen given their pitching and given the fact that they've made themselves a little better and that they were a toilet team last year. They were a last place outfit wire to wire last year. And I just don't think that's going to happen to them this year. I think they could be fair to middling in this and that, but I do think players that are 22, 23, 24, when they stumble a little bit, fall, they get embarrassed, they go home, they get hurt. In the case of Rutschman, you've been all about his core. I'd like to think that these guys that really want to make it, and I feel the same way about Lamar Jackson, who's watching these guys play the Super Bowl this week, that I'd like to think that these guys get like I get when somebody spends money at 105.7 instead of with me. They get a little piss and vinegar about them and want to compete. And I would think all these guys want to compete. I think they all had to live with last place and live with whatever's on the back of their bubblegum card, that if we want to beat the Ravens up, for nobody in the franchise having a year that they're proud of, no one. It wasn't anyone's best year with that. Maybe
Jordan Stout. Jordan Stout, the
okay,
punter.
fair enough. You give me one guy out of 53 guys. Coach got fired. Manager got fired last summer. Team was in last place all year. The thing went to hell in a handbasket. Even when they showed up for the ballpark, they're 15 games under 500. And I think it's a little harder to go 4 for 5 on those nights when it's 106 degrees and you're getting your ass kicked and your pitcher's no good and your manager's been fired and like all of that, right? The heaviness, the stadium's empty, just all of it. I think there'll be some energy here. I think there'll be some new air. And I'm not even saying that to get my press pass back, Mark, Katie, Don, any of you. Like, it's the way I really feel. I'm not even wearing orange. I'm wearing orange because I'm going to be at Casas and Timonium on Friday. And Pete gave me this is the management shirt. So it's sort of peachy. I like it. I'm going to be optimistic about the Orioles until they start 2-9 and their pitching stinks and everybody's hurt and they don't come north and my head's getting jacked from the home runs they're giving. I'm like, I don't believe that. I think they're better. And I think
That's
last
fine.
year was certainly a stumble, a fall, and maybe even a necessary one, that if Mike Elias actually talked to me, he'd say, we did this in Houston 10 years ago. We kind of tripped a little bit and we had to kind of reset what we were trying to do with these young players because we knew we had 4 or 5 core guys: Holiday, Rutschman, Henderson, Westberg, you add Alonso. Like, dude, it's February 2nd. I have no reason to bullshit anybody and being optimistic about a last place outfit. But I am optimistic about the Orioles. I think they'll be better this year. And not better than last place. I think they're going to keep us engaged until the next time Lamar makes or misses a practice in August.
I have no problem with anything you just said. I'm not quite as I'm at like 88. Like,
Okay,
hey,
so let's gamble then. I Googled this. The
I mean,
over-under's 85 and a half to 89
I
and a
don't think
half.
like we're in major disagreement here. Like I'm saying I mostly agree with you. I'm not as high on their pitching and I'm not being fooled by the
How many games
offense.
did
Fuck
they win
everything.
last year?
75.
75. I was going to say 72. I lost track. I literally, I
75 and
don't know.
87.
75. So the fact that they won 75 and you can't make a bet on them to not be an above 500 team, you can think they're going to win 84 games and still lose the bet, right? If the bet is 85 and a half to 89 and a half, that is extremely optimistic for a last place outfit that had 75 wins,
Well, and I
right?
think
I mean, it just is.
but that also speaks to what the expectations were prior. The idea that you're not going to evaluate them based solely on what happened
Well, the
last year. You're
Ravens
going to
won
look.
8 games. What's the number on them right now? 10 and a half or 11? Because everybody just expects
Well, that, and
Lamar to
that's what I'm
play,
saying.
and they're going to be a playoff team next year as we sit here and watch the Patriots, right? But the Bengals think they're going to be a playoff team, and the Chargers think they're going to be. I mean, everybody thinks they're going to be a playoff team. I just think the Orioles have real reasons to be optimistic because their cupboard is not empty. Their cupboard is not bare. Their cupboard's really kind of full. And last year, the manager getting fired and them taking huge stumbles backward doesn't speak to the talent. It speaks to the lack of progression of where they were as an organization and how they've dusted themselves off, spent money, bought a new manager, trying to buy some pitching. They check all the boxes for me, whether they give me a press pass or not.
That's fine. Like I said, I don't think we're in major, like we're not in major disagreement here.
But if you're at 88, you're not betting the over.
I mean, I don't, I haven't even looked at what the over under is because I'm just not
Well, it depends on
terribly.
which house you go in. You get good value if you
This
take
is,
the
but this is,
85.
but I'm still in roster building mode and they need more pitching. They just do. Have I been wrong about the bullpen the last few years? When I've generally said this, they need another higher leverage arm. It doesn't, I'm not saying you have to go trade for some team's all-star closer. Let's be clear on that. But I think you need another arm that fits into the, if Helsley's down, if Kittredge is unavailable that night, this guy, you're going to feel fine about pitching in the eighth or the ninth inning that night. You know what I mean? Like you need someone like that because I'm not sure after the last 2 years, I'm not sure Yennier Cano is going to be that guy anymore because that's gone in the wrong direction the last 2 years. I look at that and I want to see another starting pitcher. I just do. I don't, you know me. I love Kyle Bradish. I think Kyle Bradish is, from a true talent level standpoint, based on what he's done in the major leagues, as far as what his stuff is and what he's done when he's been healthy the last go back 4 years, second half of 2022. I think he's very much one of the most talented starting pitchers in baseball. But having said that, when he's coming off of Tommy John surgery and he only threw how many innings last year, can you really pencil him in to be 180 innings kind of guy for you? That's ambitious. Trevor Rogers, believe me, I love what I saw from Trevor Rogers. These guys being back in the picture are part of why I'm saying, like, and by the way, 88 wins, you look in recent years, usually will at least get you a wild card spot. So let me be clear. Like, I'm not trying to make this out to be like I'm Debbie Downer compared to you. We're just slightly different in where we're kind of viewing this team presently, a week before the start of spring training. But, Trevor Rogers, I'm not expecting Trevor Rogers to have a sub 2 ERA, right? I mean, I think that would be completely. One, unfair to expect him to do that, and I think it would just be completely unrealistic based on the peripherals, based on who he is as a pitcher. That said, that doesn't mean I think he's going to go back to being what he was at the end of his time with the Marlins, which was why the Marlins got rid of him and the Orioles got him for what they did at the time, which was Kyle Stowers, who was not perceived to be what he became this past year, and Connor Norby. But I think Trevor Rogers can very much be a heck of a number two, number three starter, right? I'd love to see them have another guy that really fits in there. And, Valdez is 32, right? He's as dependable as what's out there on the open market right now in terms of what you can reasonably expect, understanding that Tommy John or arm injuries can come for any pitcher at any point in time. As I always say to you, pitchers are durable until they're not anymore. But that said, if Framber Valdez is balking at a 4-year deal, which, the Orioles have been in on Valdez. I mean, that's been confirmed. I mean, like, I think they're still trying, but He's 32. Is he looking for a deal that's much closer to Dylan Cease than Ranger Suarez? I'm not giving him a 7-year deal. I mean, I'm not. When a pitcher is 32, and especially if we want to go down the road of what happened with his catcher, and that, he gives up the grand slam and then crosses up his catcher and hits him in the chest with a fastball. Like, I'm not saying that that's a disqualifier for me. Let me be clear, but I kind of look at that and I'm like, dude, like, what's going on? especially if you're going to sign him to be your ace. So I at least take a little pause with that. But more so for me, it's the fact that he's 32, and I'm just not giving a 32-year-old a 7-year deal. If he's willing to take, I might even be willing to go five on him. So if it's five that gets it done, we'll see,
See, that's
right?
something the Yankees do, is go giving $30 million a year to some guy who's going to be 36 years old and not care about it.
Well, but is it? They haven't done it yet,
No, I'm
So,
just saying that's something rich teams do.
oh, sure. I mean, everyone kind of looked at the Mets. Obviously, the Mets made the trade with Milwaukee, got Peralta, and like everyone kind
Well, the
of
question
assumed.
is he a front of the rotation guy the next 3 years for you? If he
And
is,
that's where I
then
kind of look at it. I mean, like, look, he's not prime J. Like he's not Tarek Skubal. Okay, like let's be clear about that. I mean, obviously, who is? I mean, him and Skeens are kind of in a category all by themselves at this
But
point.
why wouldn't you save the money and try to go get those guys later on if you're the owners?
Well, what you mean at the trade deadline?
At whenever you feel
I
like
don't know.
paying a pitcher $40 million a year and you want a real one and not a 32-year-old one, like I would say, and that doesn't do you any good to get me to my argument of 91 wins versus 88 wins, and how they win this year. But bad deals are bad deals. You know what I mean? Like,
No, I hear you. Look,
it's a little different for
this.
football where you kick it down the curb and whatever. And I look, these guys are billionaires. So I'm not going to cry for Michael
Oh, I'm
Arrighetti,
not
who
either.
all he wants to do, the only thing that matters in his soul is going to be winning here. It has nothing to do with our community, nothing to do with what the Orioles used to represent. It's going to make Michael feel good, make David feel good. Because I see that that's what these got people do. I mean, it's an ego-driven purchase 2 years ago. They want to win, and at what cost? I don't know. But when you have all the money in the world, what difference does it make?
Yeah, sure. And let me be very clear. When I'm saying I think they need to add more pitching. This is not me, whatting on their off season. I think they've had a good off season. I'm just ready for the punctuation on the off season. For me, it still feels incomplete because I think they need another starter and I think they need another bullpen arm. And see, the problem now, and this goes for Framber Valdez, this goes for Zach Gallen, this goes for anyone you would acquire via trade. You are now running out of time in terms of wanting to have a complete spring because there is ample evidence that shows if pitchers, their free agency lingers into spring training, that ends up not being a good thing. I mean, that just in terms of performance, in terms of potential health
Well,
risks,
somebody's
whatever
going
it
to get
might
hurt
be.
too. If they got to shut somebody down in March, because
Well,
they just
and that's,
do.
but
They're pitchers.
that for me is where the urgency is this week. As you and I are
And if
talking
it's
in the present.
Bradish, they're effed.
Well,
All of a
yeah,
sudden,
I
my
mean,
bet's no good, and I want 81 again, all of a sudden.
well,
Literally.
if it's Bradish, heaven forbid,
Or Rodgers.
then you have to go give Framber Valdez whatever he's asking for then. Like that's
Well,
kind of
that
where
was where
you
they were
become.
a couple of years ago with Burns when they brought him in, knowing Bradish was broken, right?
I mean, they've kind of dismissed that privately at
Oh,
times,
bull. They knew.
and I would also say I don't think that was the only reason why
Well,
they did
Corbin
it.
Burns was a good idea no matter what.
It was right because they gave up Joey Ortiz and DL Hall. What have those guys become since they traded those? That's why I said even 1 year of Corbin
There are
Burns,
no Kyle Stowers.
even knowing it was 1 year of Corbin Burns and then he moved on, that was a trade you still do 100 times out of 100, right? I mean, that's how overwhelmingly obvious it was. I just look at it right now and I'm still uneasy on the pitching side. I'm in agreement with you, by the way, on the hitting side. I feel very optimistic about where they are. Now, there are certain individuals, like I'm not nearly as optimistic about Adley Rutschman individually as you are. That said, that doesn't mean I think Adley Rutschman's like going to be someone that's unplayable or anything like that. I just think Adley Rutschman, to me, the ship sailed. It certainly sailed in terms of whether they should have drafted him or Bobby Witt Jr. I think that's obvious now. But That said, I like Gunnar Henderson to go back to being much closer to what he was 2 years ago, which is an MVP candidate, rather than last year, which was above average, all-star caliber shortstop, but not an MVP candidate. I certainly have optimism for Jackson Holliday to take another step forward, whether that's going to warrant him being a number one pick or whether he's just more of a fringe all-star at second base. I certainly am optimistic about Jordan Westberg if he can just stay on the field. He's proven he's a productive player. Colton Cowser, he's another guy. I want to see a new regime. I want to see the new coaching staff work some wonders with him because he's going to be important. Colton Cowser's our opening day center fielder at this point. I mean, he's going to be their everyday center fielder. Yeah, so he needs to have an offensive profile that, for me, has a little less whiff, a little more walk, and try to get back to
Is
his
that
preferred.
possible?
Sure, it should be. Go look at what he did in college. Go look
Okay.
at his college numbers. And I know college isn't pro baseball, but it generally is somewhat predictive. And he's someone that I don't think necessarily has to profile as a guy that's going to strike out 240 times. For me, get the walk rate back up. I can live with some of that whiff if you're drawing walks and hitting the ball out of the ballpark and playing plus defense. I can deal with that imperfect profile as long as you're the good stuff. Problem is, last year the strikeout rate went up and the walk rate crashed. That's no bueno, right? That's not good. I can deal with strikeouts, but get that walk rate back up and play defense and hit the ball out of the ballpark the way he does. So, but you go down the list of, look, I think a big guy that you're going to be counting on this year is, I mean, Samuel Basayo. No, he's probably going to DH a whole lot. He's going to catch a couple times a
Forgot
week.
about him. How many? Wait, 400 at bats. You're gonna
I mean,
hit.
he's going to play most days. I mean, he's going to, to me, he's going to be their primary DH because, Tyler O'Neill's on the roster,
Is
but
he gonna hit 20 home runs?
I hope, I think he certainly can.
Okay.
I'd be,
Now I don't know if he's gonna hit 208 or 280, but
I mean,
I mean,
I think
he
his
better
pro,
hit with power. He
I,
it's like Mayo. If Mayo didn't hit with power, he's worthless.
yeah, I mean, I think Basayo, to me, for everything you're laying out in terms of their lineup, obviously Pete Alonso, you're trusting him to be Pete Alonso. You're very much trusting Gunnar to bounce back and be closer to what he was 2 years ago. And I think both of those are excellent bets, by the way. I feel really good about that. I feel the best about those two than anyone
Well, if they're
else
going to win
in the lineup.
91 games, I believe they're both going to hit
Sure.
30 home runs and
Yeah, I
be
mean, they're
what
going
they
to be,
are.
Gunnar's going to be a six, more of a 6 or 7 win player, and Pete Alonso is going to be a 4 or 5 win player who's hitting 35 plus bombs and playing every day, right? I mean, that's just what you're kind of expecting. I think Basayo is one of those major X factors in terms of the kind of guy that can make this lineup like, oh my gosh, like where's the break? Like
Like
one
when
through
Manny
nine.
Ramirez stepped
Yeah.
into the Indians, or
Yeah, Jim
like a
Tomey
young
was hitting
guy that,
80.
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the kind of potential the lineup could have. And potential is a word that's gotten the Orioles in trouble at times the last few years. So fully acknowledging that that's a volatile word. But so believe me, I hear everything you're saying on the offensive side. I still look at the pitching. It still feels light. The rotation, if you tell me right now, no questions asked, Zach Eflin's 100%, full go opening day.
I almost forgot about him, like
You can
literally.
almost talk. You can almost talk me into that. I still, man, I because I still look at that and say, look, we talk so much going into the offseason that they need an ace, they need a one or at least a two. Boz might become that, but you can't tell me Boz is that right now. So that's where I look at that and I say we're kind of lowering the bar. But definitive, like I have a lot of conviction about this. The bullpen feels light to me right now. It just does, and that's even acknowledging I like the idea of Tyler Wells in maybe a seventh, maybe an eighth inning role. But that's where I look at it and say, look at all the guys they traded last July, and that's fine. That was the right move. Let me be clear. That was the right move. I'm not criticizing that. Just stating the past. Look at that in contrast to what they've added in the winter. They're still.
But you don't want Sir Anthony back at this moment, do you?
No, I mean, not. Well, I mean, he's signed anyway,
But
but
you want someone like him, is what I'm saying.
yeah, basically, And you
You
know
want an
what?
$8 million relief pitcher.
Someone like that, yeah.
Okay.
I think someone that fits that profile that can close a game for you once a week, you know, when Helsley's unavailable, or
61 innings of,
yeah,
you
high
know.
leverage.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
a
All
higher
right.
leverage guy. I think they need that.
Okay.
And I will hear your argument because other people have made that argument too. And everything you've said is fair. Let me be clear. This is not me saying like, oh, you're insane or anything like that. Far from it. That's something I'd like to see them get now rather than wait at the trade deadline, because I feel sometimes that can be something you end up having to overpay for. And I'd rather them not be in that position. To your point, if you want to fulfill the idea of winning 92 games, which may not win this division. I mean, that could win the division. I don't, just because the Blue Jays made it to the World Series doesn't mean I'm viewing any of these teams as like in the East that are going to win 100 games. I don't think it's that kind of a race. But if you can add a high leverage bullpen arm and you can add another impactful starting pitcher, then yeah, I start to really like the Orioles' chances in terms of being able to win the division. Whereas right now, they're more wild card like to me right now as they're presently constructed, which, by the way, would still be a really nice bounce back from last year. That's not being Debbie
I called
Downer.
them a playoff team,
Yeah.
right? I mean,
Yeah.
I did,
I
right?
think they could be. Let me be clear. As presently constructed, can they be a playoff team? Yes, of course they can. Do I have the level of conviction that I would have if they could go add one more starting pitcher and one more higher leverage bullpen arm? Then I'm saying yes. Yes, I predict them to be a playoff team then. Then I have more conviction about what this looks like in terms of the floor, and then what it could really look like in terms of the ceiling. So that's where I am, and we'll see what happens. All indications are they're still trying to add. So, like, I don't think Mike Elias is, just because there hasn't been as much going on the last month other than like these back end of the roster churn type moves, doesn't mean that they haven't been trying. I think they have put legitimate, serious effort into Framber Valdez, but I would also say he's not the kind of pitcher where I'm just going to bid against myself either, right? I'm not going to just, you know, throw a 7-year deal at a 32-year-old pitcher just
Well,
because I
it's
want to
more
get
of a
it done.
want than it is a need at this point, right?
Well, I mean, I think it's in between, right? You know, I think it's more than just a want, but
Okay.
you know, but that's just where I am. You and I talked a lot about the pitching going into the winter, right? And I like Boz. I like Zach Eflin. But it's like the Taylor Ward thing all over again. What was the thing I said about Taylor Ward when they signed Pete Alonso? I said, I like that move a lot more when it's the second best offensive addition they made. I would like the Boz trade that much more if that's the second best addition they made to their rotation. And then you're telling me Eflin's the third? It's like, man, then you're cooking with grease then. Then it's like, hey, let this then I'll start hearing your 95 win plus kind of talk. I'm just not quite there yet with where their pitching is.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. I am Nestor. We are fulfilling our Radio Row Super Bowl obligations from the Moscone Center this week remotely. We're doing a cup of Super Bowl all around the community all week long. Fadley's on Monday, Tuesday at El Guapo in Catonsville, Wednesday at Coco's, Thursday at Pizza John's in Essex, and on Friday at Costas in Timone. I'm wearing my Costas gear. All are brought to you by GBMC and our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have candy cane cash scratch-offs to give away, as well as our newest sponsors at Farnan and Dermer. We'll be telling more about all of that as we get through this. And just let everybody down at the warehouse know, you know, Nestor thinks they're going to be good this year. Okay? Back for more. It's Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.